So that's interesting, because right. I've heard a lot of black men say that they'll change their voices or make sure their hands are always in sight, especially when they are conversing or around white women.
Right.
Tell me a little bit more about that, because the fact that this keeps coming up makes me feel like this is kind of like an Emmett, like, not, it's like a, where does that derive from, basically?
Because black men are constantly aware of how they're being perceived.
Right.
So, and it could be 50% it exists and 50% is bullshit in our mind, but because part of it has actually existed, like, white men aren't clutching their bags from black men, it's white women.
But then what does that have to do with, what does that have to do with business when relating? Now, that seems like a different thing. Mm-hmm. It could be one thing for you to talk to CEOs in mm-hmm. a certain manner so that you can, or 50 Cent speaking in a certain way so that he can appeal to a certain demographic right. for sales.
Right.
But when you have to take it to just being able to live or work in the same space as a white woman, that seems like a different
thing. I'd say any non black woman, like, I don't work directly in my group. I work with one white woman. So I guess it's consciously trying not to be this, constantly not being the stereotype, right? Like, I don't know you, I don't know where you're from. I'm stereotyping you, saying you look like you fall into XYZ category. And I know, or I assume I know, the thoughts that group has toward people who look like me. Mm-hmm. So I play up the fact that I have a Jewish stepfather. I play up the fact that I went to boarding school. I play up the fact that I listen to alternative music, right? To make them more at ease.
Right. And that's right? understandable. So make them more at ease with what? What's the reason? Just to because make life easier?
Because, it's an effort to... My goal is to always try to connect with people. So what do we have in common? Right? You're Jewish? Huh. Ironically, my stepdad is Jewish. And no one has given me the look of, this 6'5" black man has a Jewish stepdaddy? Like, that don't even make any sense. No one said that out loud, but I'm sure they've thought it. Right? So it's, how do we, okay, so we have that in common. Oh, you drink scotch? I drink scotch. Right? Or, but I also drink Guinness. Right? So, It's for me, if on a personal level, it's constantly trying to connect with that person and play off what we have in common, even if that thing is a fraction of a percentage of who I am in total.
Is it so you would do this then? Now, let me just try to get a better understanding of it, because the first thing that I think of when black men start bringing up white women, I'm not thinking business, you know, I'm not thinking, and that could be wrong. I mean,
I've worked for mainly white women.
Okay.
Most of my supervisors have been white women.
Okay.
So there's a hierarchy structure there.
Right.
Right? Like, don't be the angry black man. Don't, like, you know, play up being docile. Like, so, when I walked into my last job, I'd walk by a male's office, and my boss's office was a white woman, and to get to my desk, right? And I would say good morning to everybody, and when I would say hi to Daryl, it would be, Daryl, what's going on? How was your weekend? And when I would say hi to Katie, it was, hey, Katie, how was your weekend? Subconsciously.
Right.
Right?
So, but would you say that we have, I'm not a black male, but there is an Emmett Till type of, like...
Possibly. But
fear?
Maybe. I don't think it's a fear. It's subconscious. I think...
It's innate.
Right. Like, I have a friend who always quotes James Baldwin and says, to be black in America is to be schizophrenic. Right? I think at the time it meant something different, because to be black in America was to want to be white. Where now it's, you don't want to be white, but you're the large part of your power structure and your hierarchy and where you work and your society is white. So you need to blend into that. You need to somehow function in that. Mm-hmm. And it's the constant, how do I preserve my cultural identity while advancing in this white world.
Right.
Right? And it's like, when I see a black person, I know where every black person sits on my floor, what they do. I've Googled all of them because they're black, because I want to know, like, okay, there's six of us. So when I see you, there's always a, hey, what's going on? Like the language shifts. There's this one black dude, Ron. And Ron is in charge. I told you earlier, Ron is in charge of like the floor maintenance and all that stuff, right? So when I come in the morning, I say hi to my boss. Hey, good morning. How you doing? Hey, good morning. How's your morning? I say, hey, Ron, what's going on, fam? How are you? Hey, how are you? Changes to what's going on, fam, right, immediately. And I feel, and that just, it feels comfortable that you, that's someone that you can relate to on any level, right? On a very superficial level, like that, it matters. It matters that, like, that level of comfort matters. Like, I always say that it's important for you to look like somebody.
Right.
And I feel very connected. Like, I have a younger brother who's 16. We look alike. And I think we didn't grow up together, so I didn't grow up looking like either one of my parents, but I look like my brother, so there's a weird connection that I have just because, like, there's a pride in, like, you guys look alike. You know what I mean?
So when you're talking to someone like Ron, does that make you feel at ease when you can at least, do you feel, because I know, and I'll say from my personal experience, I feel like I'm holding in my breath when I'm yes. not being myself, right?
Of course, like, so, you know, most of my coworkers, of the young white coworkers, they all live in, like, Murray Hill, which is, like I said, that's the white Harlem, because their experiences, their interests are in that region of the city, where the black people that I've met at work all live in Harlem. So, oh, you live in Harlem? Where do you live? Oh, have you been here? Like, it's a totally different universe. Like, most of these white people have never been above 96th Street. You know what I mean? Like, there's no need to come uptown that far. So, if just on a very, like, neighborhoodish level, if we've been to the same places, we have the same interests, you just feel a little bit more at ease in that moment. It could be all bullshit, right? Like, that person could, you know.
We don't have a lot of time. It's already 1:03.
Yeah.
When you, to latch on, so would you say then that code switching is as much for, to put the other uh-huh. at ease uh-huh. as it is to put you at ease yeah. in knowing that the consequences will be less severe if you act a certain way or if you can identify with these people who yeah, are so, the other?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think it's part survival tactic too, right? Like, I make a point to talk to Ron every day, right? Me and Ron have totally different job functions, but I make a point to talk to him, ask him how his day was, because we've had conversations about nothing related to work, but we're rooted in blackness, right? And being localized to a certain region, where I can go talk to my white coworker about this restaurant or that restaurant or this play or that play or this artist.
Right, like that.
But I don't care. I'm not culturally connected to that. I'm exposed to that, but culturally it means nothing to me. It's all bullshit. It's all posturing, right?
Right.
Like, you know, like I've heard coworkers use the, like, there's just a different level of, I think, etiquette and timidity that I think black people walk around the office with, right? Like, black people aren't, like, women are still concerned about wearing their hair natural. Like, should I wear my hair natural? Should I embrace who I am? Should I straighten my hair in 20? Like, black women still have those conversations internally in 2015, right? Where, and then, you know, there are times at work where white people or non-black people will say things like, oh, this such and such is so ghetto. To me, like, describing something that's broken or something that, like, you know, if they have, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that conference room is so ghetto. Like, to me, ghetto is worse than the word nigga, right? Nigga offends me less than ghetto, right? Like, black, the word.
Why is that? Why?
Because the word ghetto hasn't been diluted the way the word nigga has to the public. The word, like, there are 19-year-olds who will tell you nigga is a hip-hop word and that's where it comes from. Or it just comes from rap music, right? Where the word ghetto hasn't been just arbitrarily thrown around like that.
So is it just a matter of, like, what comes to mind? Like, when you
when I hear ghetto, when I hear you, when I hear, when I, and I'm not by any means saying like it's acceptable.